Welcome to Cronecast. Your hosts, Trudy Callahan and Lisa Austin, are here to encourage you to embrace your inner crone and revel in your wisdom, experience, and intuition. The podcast about women of a certain age for women of any age. This is Cronecast.
Welcome back to the Cronecast. I am Trudy Callahan. I'm here with my friend Lisa Austin.
Hello, everyone.
How are you today?
Well, I don't know whether you can notice it in my voice, but I have not been singing in a blues bar nightly for several weeks. I've had a little bit of a cold.
Oh.
So I sound worse than I feel, which is the good thing, and I'm ready to roll today.
Excellent. You could sing bass, though.
I could definitely sing bass.
So, Lisa, we had Sandra on last time, and she made me think, oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. There's so many things I want to talk about regarding what she said. And I realized when I listened back that she packed so much wisdom into very few words. Mm-hmm. I feel like I want to go back and listen again and again. Mm-hmm. And we need to have her back.
We do need to have her back, yeah. Absolutely. There was a lot to unpack there, and she was a wonderful guest.
She really was. So one of the words that she used that I actually wrote down when she said it, and I've been considering since we spoke with her, was this notion of being fully formed. Mm-hmm. Do you remember when she used that mm-hmm. word?
I do.
So my husband used to say to me, well, remember, there's not that many grown-ups in the world. And I think he's talking about the same thing. Mm. I think they were both referring to the fact that not everyone becomes fully formed. And when we think about this, I don't know, is it a progression through life? And Sandra mentioned this, and you've also mentioned it, is this idea of going through the maiden, mother, crone stages of our lives. Mm-hmm. Like, is that a progression that everyone goes through, every woman goes through? Or let me say more about that. So when I always think in pictures at some point, I think in words and then I go to pictures to see if I can sort it out. And the picture I had in my mind was kind of like, do you know what a Roman shade is? You know, yep. It's that thing that when you pull the cord, it folds up. And so then there's two sections, and then you can pull it again, and then there's three sections together. Mm-hmm. So if we have these sort of three sections, does the maiden fold up into the mother, and then you bring those experiences together? And then does the maiden and mother fold up and become a crone? And is the blind always fully open for everyone? Mm-hmm. How does that work?
Well, I think that's a very tricky question, a very deep question. And I think if we looked at it, I think literally and chronologically, then maybe every woman does, you know, start off as maiden, move into mother. I mean, and I think we can't take that literally, but figuratively a mother, and then into the crone stage. But I think that the idea of being fully formed, and I'm going to read a quote just in a minute, the idea of being fully formed is not universal. So, for example, the quote I'm going to read is, I quoted this woman before, her name's Jean Shinoda Bolen, and she wrote a book called Crones Don't Whine. And she says, crone qualities are not acquired overnight. One does not become a full-fledged crone automatically following menopause, any more than growing older and wiser go hand in hand. So, I think, you know, a person can be a crone chronologically, but not necessarily a crone spiritually, emotionally, intellectually, you know. And I think basically it comes down to self-awareness and self-examination. And that's how we consolidate the information and experience and wisdom that we've gathered as those pieces of blind have gone up in our lives. And that's what makes us crones. I don't think I've sold you on that.
Well, I do think you're right. I'm just trying to figure it out. And how does one encourage another person to get that blind open? How do mm-hmm. you progress and fully open that blind? Mm-hmm. it would seem that some people do get stuck.
Mm-hmm. I think they do. And I think, again, it's a matter of, you know, to what extent is their life fully examined in terms of self-examination? To what extent are they self-aware? To what extent are they able to consolidate their the actions in their lives, the consequences of those actions, and all the things that come to bear in having an experience? And so I think if you don't have those pieces of self-awareness, introspection, self-examination, it's very difficult to consolidate the pieces of your life into something really special.
Oh, that, I feel tired listening to that. Is that...
Tell me why.
Well, it just all the self-examination and I suppose naturally I'm a reflective person because I'm an introvert. So remember when I said I had to confess that I was not intuitive? It's because when I looked at my Myers-Briggs, I just looked at the first page and I saw the eye and thought, oh, yeah, you're intuitive. And then I realized, no, that when you look at it, that's the introvert.
Yes.
And for sure, I'm an introvert. I get recharged by being alone and I read a lot and I listen to things and, you know, and especially now I'm, you know, the kids are gone. My husband passed away. I am on my own. So I think a lot.
Well, and so thinking a lot, I think, is one of the key ingredients of becoming a crone. I think that what you've described, you know, you listen to things, you read things. And what I know of you is that in doing so, you're incorporating a lot of information, a lot of data, a lot of wisdom, a lot of insight. And you're incorporating those pieces into your life and into your the way you move forward in life. And I think that's really a hallmark of cronedom.
Do you think in order to get there, you have to be a reader?
Not necessarily, but I think you do have to have those pieces of, okay, you know, plucking out the little significant, important milestone moments in life and making sense of them and incorporating them and using them as building blocks, as paving stones, if you will, for moving forward in life.
And that is how you become fully formed.
I think so.
Okay, let's go back to this thing. Because I often, in my family, do refer to me as the matriarch.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard that, I mean, like, not a lot, but every once in a while it will come out. Matriarch isn't in this folding up of the maiden, mother, crone. Where does that fit in?
Well, I think the maiden, mother, crone piece comes from mythology and archetypes within mythology and that sort of thing. So matriarch, I think, is more of a role as opposed to a state of being. Or maybe it's both, but I think it's more a role in that you are the female head of a family or a community or whatever. And you're the source of, you're the one who people go to. You are the one who cooks dinner.
Yes, that was my thing, right? I've always been the one that cooks dinner. I was really young in my 20s and I was the one cooking dinner. Couldn't afford a dining room table. So what I did is I got a 4x8 piece of plywood and I got someone to help me put the, do you know those foldy, pinchy legs?
Yeah, yeah.
And I got them to put
that it. Will either help or kill you.
Yes, yes. And I made myself a dining room table. I put a half decent tablecloth on it and it became the dining room table.
Mm-hmm.
And so people have always come to my house for dinner. It's not that I'm that stellar of a cook. It's just that I'm the gathering place. I've always been that.
And that's, you know, when I say you are the person who makes dinner, what that actually means is that you are the bringer together of folk.
Yeah. So that's the matriarch?
Yes.
Okay.
In my opinion.
I do think of it that way. Because remember we talked about, I think of the matriarch as the one who makes dinner, but the crone is not. So can I be a crone and a matriarch?
Absolutely. I think so.
So it's the folding up.
It's the folding up.
I get it now. So the matriarch comes sometime after mother or during motherhood, the mother phase of our life. And just to reiterate, a woman does not have to be a biological mother.
Correct.
To be in that phase of her life.
Well, I'm not a biological mother and I consider myself very crony.
Yeah, you do. And you are.
See?
Yeah. What it? Cronage. That was Sandra's word.
Sandra's word was cronage. Cronage. And it was a spectacular word.
It's a very good word.
It's like dotage, in her dotage. Remember? Do you know that word?
Yes, yes.
In her cronage.
In her dotage. Ugh.
Isn't that awful? Dotage?
I have to tell you, I was in Victoria, BC last spring because Ballet Edmonton was performing there for the first time ever with an orchestra. They were with performing with the Victoria Symphony. You know, I wrote this in my ballet chair message in the last program. Everyone needs to put a visit to Victoria and a visit to the Royal Theatre on their bucket list because it really is a spectacular experience. And there's jokes about Victoria being a place for the newlywed and the nearly dead. And there did appear, in my opinion, I was staying in a really cute little condo downtown within three blocks or so of the Royal Theatre. And I did notice that there were a lot of women. I would think they're really close to 80, if not over 80, but they were very fit. And I think it's because they walk everywhere. Mm-hmm. And it inspired me because, you know, I'm in my 60s, but I'm not in my 70s. I'm not in my 80s, but I admired those women. And I looked at their feet and saw, oh, they've all got this really athletic, technical footwear on. Mm-hmm. And they're walking everywhere and they looked so good.
Yeah, it's Victoria is a great place from lots of perspectives to be an elderly person because of the walkability and the climate and, it's just a whole different, really, it's quite a different lifestyle.
It made me want to move there.
Oh, don't do that.
Yeah, I know.
I'm ready for you to be away from me.
Yeah, but well, we could just talk your partner into moving, we could all move. She won't live on an island.
Well, no, it's not the island part. It's the socked in gray weather that she cannot abide.
Oh,
like one day here of rainy weather and she's beside herself.
Really?
Yeah.
I actually love it. It rained a bit
when
I was
there.
Me too.
I think it's an introvert thing.
Maybe. Well, also the rain there falls straight down. Mm-hmm. Whereas here in Edmonton, it tends to go sideways. Mm-hmm. And that folly down rain kind of, I call it mizzle. It's the thing between mist and drizzle.
Mm-hmm.
I adore that.
Yeah, mizzle's good. I love that about Victoria.
Oh, I loved it. And the flowers were blooming and the grass was green. And we came back to a bit of brown here. I mean, I do love the blue sky here. Don't get me wrong. That's pretty spectacular. Mm-hmm. But I just really admired those women that they were standing in line to go into the theater. And I could see them walking up and down the sidewalks everywhere I went and thought, look at you. That's so good.
It was like a Crone convention.
Yeah. Hey, well, when you write your book, you probably need to visit out there and talk to some of those women. Because for sure they're crones.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
No doubt.
One of them engaged me in the line. I was in the wrong line. I was supposed to be in the box office line. And, I ended up somewhere else, I don't know, in the line to go in the theater. And they were engaging with me. And I just thought, oh, you're over 80 and I want to be like you when I'm over 80.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So they're crones.
They are.
So what else have you been thinking about this week?
Well, I have to confess that my thought process has been a little bit muddied by, cough syrup with codeine in it and lots and lots of sleep. But I've been thinking, too, a lot about Sandra's visit with us and how we didn't have to explain to her what a crone is. She knew almost intuitively, I know what you mean, and I know that I am. And so I wonder, if we met with those women that you saw in Victoria and we asked them, are you a crone? I wonder what response that we'd get. I wonder if they would go, for sure I am. Or they'd go, what is that? And I think people who are crones know they're crones.
They know the word?
They may not know the word or they may not like the word. But I think that there's a self-knowledge that crones have, that they have arrived at a particular stage in a particular state of being, that is being a crone.
Okay. To unpack that even more in the sense of, is this your plan, like for your book? Are you identifying crones to chat to, or are you just going to ask people randomly if they're crones?
My plan is to, get a good sample of, you know, a diverse sample of women, and talk to them about, I might have to introduce the concept, and they may go, oh, yeah, that's, I, yeah, I'm that. I wouldn't call myself that, but I am that. That's sort of like that sort of thing. But my plan is to develop a sort of set of interview questions to talk about, you know, what brought them the wisdom, experience and intuition that they have now, what they would want to leave behind for younger women in terms of, you know, if I were young again, I wish I'd known this. I wish I'd said this. So really glean that. And have each chapter be an interview with women and, talking about where they came from. I mean, not a full, like full on bio, but enough to that we know sort of what, whence they come and what informs their experience and their identity. Yeah.
So what their journey was in essence, the highlights of their journey.
Yeah.
So I was talking to, a younger woman who was, asking me about how one can intersect with a genuine crone at the various stages of her own life. So in this case, she identified sort of 20s, 30s, and 40s. She's early 40s. So she was thinking that what she knows now is kind of that folding up of that we talked about before, the Roman blind, of what she learned in her 20s and 30s. And she feels like she would glean something different if she had access to a crone, a recognized access, I guess. Some do and just don't recognize that that's what's going on. At each stage, how can she go about finding that crone? And how can she intersect?
Mm-hmm. I think some of it's serendipity. And I think, you know, you talked about 20s, 30s, and 40s. And I think the 20s is tricky time for young women. Because you're not really fully out of the need to separate from your own mother and separate from and, you know, establish yourself. And so I think that's why there may be a tendency for younger women, like say women in their 20s, to sort of eschew the wisdom of older women. But I think there's lots of places where there's lots of intersections. There's, you know, certainly the women that you meet at work who are, you know, older than you. You know, if you're a church-going person, there may be people in the church that support you in that way, that there's women who you intersect with. And I think there's, you know, going to university, there's profs. I know there was a few profs for me who were essential to my, my formation in terms of their wisdom and what they had to offer that was well beyond, talking about George Eliot and all those, Christina Rossetti and all those other giants of, Victorian literature.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a little bit of serendipity, and I think it may become needs to become more mindful as one moves into their 30s or 40s in terms of, who are you hanging around with? Are you meeting your friends' mothers? Are you talking to your own? If you still have a mother in your 30s and 40s, are you talking to her about what she knows and what she's thinking and how she got to the thinking she possesses now, what informed her decisions, what she thinks of her own intuition. So I think that there's this old saying that the bluebird of happiness is in your own backyard. I think the same is true sometimes for crones. There's crones all around you. Are you engaging with them?
You mentioned the mother thing. I find that it's sometimes easier if it's not your mom. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about my mom, but I've noticed, for example, that younger women, I've got nieces, for example, who come to me for advice and genuine conversation, whereas sometimes my own kids are like, but you're just the mom. Like, I had this situation where my oldest son is a professional, and he It was COVID times, and I was actually, I had lunch with him, and then I was going back to his office and kind of in the crosswalk where people were all masked and so on, but they were in a crosswalk going to another, you know, the other side of the street, was this woman who in his profession is kind of esteemed. And we greeted one another. We knew who one another were. And he did this thing. He said, "Well, do you know her?" And because he esteems her. And I said, "Of course I know her, you know," and I chatted a little about how I know her. And he went, "Huh." Like he didn't, I'm just his mom. Mm-hmm. And I think, I wonder if that's true of, now he's a son, you know, not a daughter. And I actually had a conversation with a really good friend last weekend about this very thing. And she was saying that her daughter doesn't really listen to her, that her daughter will listen to other people. And I wonder if we go through this thing where we don't want to listen to our own mothers, or mm-hmm. our daughters don't want to listen to us. Oh,
for sure. And I think that's all part of the, I think the separation phase that, you know, daughters or sons for that matter experience from their parents. I think it'll last a lot longer in some cases than just adolescence. I think that separation, and that need to become who you are going to be as an individual is a long, protracted process that lasts throughout the 20s. And so, you know, what you've described is you've been, and I don't want to say reduced to, but you've been defined by your role as a mother and not by who you are as a human, as an individual in contributing to the world with a life outside of your children.
Mm-hmm. But that's just a natural thing, isn't it? I am his mom.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Mm-hmm. It's hard for him to perceive me as anything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what you know, for sure.
So surrounding yourself with women who are crones, that will increase your understanding of what cronedom really is.
I'll give you an example. My mother had a sister. Her name is Helen, my Aunt Helen. And she was a pistol. She was a fantastic lady. And she lived in Victoria. And so when I visited Victoria frequently a few years ago, I would go visit her. And she could remember a date from 50 years ago of something happening. She could remember birthdays of my nieces and their children. And she was by this time in her late 80s. And we would sit in two lazy boy recliners and we would just talk. And she was so smart about relationship and about what to worry about and what not to worry about. And she was funny. And I'm so glad now that I had access to her, you know, in those last few years of her life and, you know, everything she shared with me. And that's what I'm talking about. Okay, it may not be your mother, but who's around you? Who do you have access to now that you can talk to? I mean, and there's also the idea of there's lots of people in senior citizens home who don't have anybody to talk to.
Isn't that true?
You know, so, you know, is that an opportunity for you to go and talk to some older women who've got a few stories to tell?
Mm-hmm. So that seek, I think that's our word.
Seek
out a crone and have a conversation.
Yep, absolutely.
Does that sound okay to you?
It sounds great to me.
Okay, till next time.
Till next time, everybody.
Bye for now.
Bye for now.
Cronecast is produced by Odvod Media, odvod.com. Original music by Darren Hagen. Our podcasts are based on lived experiences. We are not experts in psychology, philosophy, gerontology, or mathematics. It's just a conversation between friends. We podcast from Edmonton, Alberta on Treaty 6 territory. Find us at cronecast.ca.